Hey, greetings. This is Brother James, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 radio. Coming to you today. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're having a glorious day in the Lord. Today I want to talk to you about novices. What is a novice? Let's talk about this. In these days of false teaching and false teachers and massive deception all over, it's often the case I've found that either a novice is the one that's easily deceived, or oftentimes the one doing the deceiving, teaching, influencing. And so we must be mindful of this. I have encountered in ministry many novices who go out and are teaching the word, and it causes other people, even themselves, to stumble further away in false doctrine, into the world, into the flesh. It's not a good picture. So what is a novice? Let's talk about this. So the world defines a novice this way: a person new or inexperienced in a field or situation. A person new or inexperienced in a field or situation. Makes sense, right? Now, when we go to God's word, which is what's guiding us and most important to us, we can see that the word novice is only used one time in all of Scripture in the New Testament. Brother Paul is giving us the qualities of an elder teacher. In 1 Timothy 3:6, he says, "But a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil." So let's look at this word in the Greek, novice. The Greek word is neophotos. It means newly planted, a young convert, a novice. So we can tell from this that a novice is someone that's new or young in the Christian faith. Simple enough, right? Kind of goes with the world's definition. In English, we're using that word novice. I think it's interesting how Paul phrases it, that a novice may have pride and fall to the devil. Once again, we talk about this a lot. We see pride is a major issue in the life of a believing saint following after Christ. God tells us he hates pride. We see Satan fall by pride. We see people getting tripped up, stumbled because of pride. Not a good thing at all. So we always look at the context. I like to teach people to look at the context of what's being taught here. Brother Paul is instructing a younger man named Timothy, who's already a leader in the body. All right, so that's the context of when he's talking about not a novice. So I want to be clear on one point that's very important. Many people miss this, and I think in my early years of the faith, I think I saw it differently when I was inexperienced. Now I see it, I think, biblically incorrect. A novice can be any age, right? A novice can be any age, but a teacher elder does not have to be an old man. We'll talk about this a little bit, but a novice can be any age, and we'll talk about that. Elders and teachers are not always old men. Oftentimes they are, but not always. We're going to get there. So we know this is true based on what Brother Paul is telling us. 1 Timothy 4:12-13. He's telling this young leader, Timothy, "Let no man despise thy youth." Not despise that you're a novice, because he's not a novice. We'll get to that. "But be thou an example of the believers in the word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Very, very important. He's telling him, don't let anybody despise you because you're a younger man. We don't know how old Timothy was, but many scholars have said he was under 30. Well, we don't know for sure. So a younger man can indeed be a teacher leader, but he can't be a novice to the faith. You see how that works? He can be a younger man, but he can't be a novice to the faith. It's really, when it comes down to this novice thing, it's more experience-based than it is age-based. Even though often elders are, if you look at the word elder, it means older. elders are older men. It's more, in this context, experience-based than age-based. Let me give you an example. You take a young boy from the age 9, and he works next to his father on the family farm until he's 29. All right? He works next to dad for all those years. At age 29, he's a young man, he's under 30, he has 20 years experience on the farm. He's young, but he's not a novice to farming, is he? Nope, he's not a novice. He's young, but he's not a novice to farming. He's actually an expert by the time he's got 20 years experience. Now, take a 55-year-old city man, much older, could be an elder, place him on that same farm. He's older. He's a novice to the farm. Get it? So age is not really the matter that Paul is talking about here. He's saying don't let anybody despise you because of your youth. He's talking about experience, knowledge, not necessarily age. So many think a novice is age-linked, but it's not so if we study scriptures. And again, elders do tend to be older, experienced men. Why? Well, life teaches you a lot. By the time you're age 30, you haven't really experienced a lot of things. By the time you're 60, you've experienced a lot of things. Double experience, double the years. And so older men do make better elders, but it doesn't have to always be that way. There are the exceptions. A younger man, if he's wise, if he's seasoned in the scriptures, he can be a leader too. It's very rare, especially in today's modern culture, where years ago, young boys would grow up and act like a man when they're 12. Today, men live at home with mommy and daddy till they're 30, and they grow up much slower. So it's hard for a young man today of 25 to be an elder, seasoned, and leading, but it's possible. And we see that with Paul and with Timothy. The other thing we have to remember about Timothy is he was young, but he was not a novice to the truth and the scriptures. His mother and his grandmother taught him from a young age, we can assume by this verse, 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. And when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. So we see, because he says, I'm persuaded that in thee also, we see Timothy was experienced in the scriptures from the youth. He was not a novice. So novices, new to the faith, can't be teachers and leaders, right? But a seasoned younger man in the faith who meets all the qualifications, yeah, he can be a teacher and a leader. Now, there's no formula for when a new convert, a novice, could ever get to being a teacher or a leader. It really depends on the man, the situation, his background. I like to remind people that Brother Paul, who was religiously trained as a Pharisee, he went into Arabia for 3 years after his conversion before he came back into full ministry that we could see in Jerusalem and then to the Gentiles. Don't really know what he was doing in Arabia. Many claim he was training in the things of the New Testament faith. You can read about that, Galatians 1, verse 17 and 18. Now, quickly, this teaching isn't about this, but I just wanted to give you some characteristics of a good leader, teacher, elder. Some of these are biblical. Some of them are just common sense. He shouldn't be a novice. We're covering that. His house should be in order. He should be holy. History of truth as a believer, not in and out of lots of deception. A good reputation. That kind of goes with the one I just gave you. Experience in life. You got to have experience in order to know how to apply God's word, how to deal with things, and able and apt to teach. So that's just some qualifications for a leader, teacher, elder. So this is an interesting thing that happens, I find, in the faith, is oftentimes new men get overzealous. Paul tells us in Titus 2:14 to be zealous for good works. Well, they get overzealous in the wrong way. And they go right into teaching and leading when they're just not qualified per the scriptures. We don't see this happening hardly ever in the working world or in the trades. I've worked for over 40 years. I didn't see people doing this. Imagine a novice. He's brand new on the job. He's telling a journeyman plumber that's done the job for 30 years how to do the job. Or a brand new guy in a warehouse telling the CEO that's been there for 30 years how to do the CEO job. That just doesn't happen in the real world, but yet you have people that get zealous because of the faith and they think they can overstep their bounds. And it's not good. You know, I like to use this example. If you were going in for heart surgery, really critical stuff that could kill you, do you want a guy that says, you know, I'm a novice, I'm brand new to this surgery stuff, but I got a lot of zeal, let's get it done? Or do you want a seasoned, trained, mature, experienced, doesn't matter how old he is, surgeon to do the job? If the surgeon did 500 of those operations and he was only 30, you'd feel confident. If he did only one of them and he was 60, you might be a little bit worried. So experience is what we're talking about here. Don't be one of those men rushing in as a novice. You'll look foolish and you're going to ruin your reputation of those around you. Once you know the gospel, I want to be clear on this. Once you know the gospel, you can share that with anybody and do evangelism. But leading and going into teaching in depth, that's not for you till you're more seasoned and trained in Christ. That's what we're talking about here. So the key for any new convert is to not rush into teaching and leadership, but to build his foundation, right? Ephesians 2, Christ, the apostles, the prophets, work in God's word, study it, and the rest will come, all right? Jesus said, seek the kingdom and everything else will be added to you. Seek the kingdom and its righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. Matthew 6:33. Don't be over anxious to run into ministry, because you're going to do more harm than good. And remember, the Bible teaches us to be anxious for nothing. Amen. So remember, Paul talked about pride. What's the opposite of pride? Humility. Now, many new converts need to realize that they are indeed new novice converts, and they need to learn in an attitude of humbleness, truth-seeking, testing. In Acts 17, the Bereans, it said they had a readiness of mind for the scriptures. That's what you need to be as a Berean, as a novice. Have a readiness of mind like the Bereans to then absorb and build your foundation and grow in all of these things. And I've seen it so many times. I've had so many young men come, older men too, and say they want to be discipled in truth, but when it comes to the details of the faith, and actually killing the flesh and doing what the word says and living it out in holiness and obeying it, most all of them run off. You know why? It's a lot easier to go do your own novice thing than to obey God's word in its entirety and be a living sacrifice. Yeah, most people run off thinking they can make their own way. And here's a fact, sad fact. I've never seen a novice, young or old, run from the holiness that God's word teaches to go do their own thing. I've never seen them grow in truth and maturity. They always end up growing to the flesh. They grow to the world. They grow to the corrupt people around them because they're leaning away from God's word. Let me encourage you, always lean towards God. Amen? Always lean towards God. So my encouragement to you men is to build your foundation in the truth first. You will be far stronger and far more effective for Christ once ministry comes, whatever he calls you to. The Bible says we must be approved. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You got to know the word of God to rightly divide it. You got to have experience in life and in the word to know how to rightly divide it. Discernment comes with experience as well. So a novice, brand new to the faith, doesn't have these things. A young man who's experienced in the faith certainly could have these things. So I hope this gives you a new look, a new insight into what a novice is. A man could be a 30-year pastor, but he's a novice to the truth if he repents and is born again recently. Think about that. He's in the Word of God for years, but he repents, he becomes born again. He's a novice in applying all those things right now. Now, he has lots of experience in the things of God, but a lot of it was false and wrong and worldly and carnal. So he kind of has to start all over. Hey, a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Amen. And remember, Paul told Timothy, focus on doctrine and exhortation. 1 Timothy 4:13. It takes time to be rooted solid in your life, in your theology, in good doctrine, That can't be overlooked, and novices just do not have that. Just dealt with a young novice who exposed me on the internet, told a whole bunch of lies about me to slander my ministry. Now he came out with a video and said he's admitting he's kind of a novice and he's done a lot of things that he shouldn't be doing. He didn't listen when I tried to tell him that. He was too prideful, fell into the snare of the devil. And so now I'm hoping that he will actually repent, step down from teaching online, study the Word of God, get the gospel right, stop slandering about other people's ministries because you're overzealous in the wrong way. It's just an example of how it can happen. So takes time to be rooted in good doctrine. Takes time to understand and discern. A novice can't do that because they're new to the faith. They haven't been approved in the Word, and they haven't been well-rounded, well-seasoned. That's why discipleship is so important. A man of God who's walking in the Word for many years can train you quickly rather than you stumbling around in the dark on your own. So again, hope that helps you get a little bit different insight into what a novice is. Go study it for yourself. Testament to the Word of God as always. Go to don'tperish.com. Go to the teaching blog. We're pouring out articles, videos, audios, sisters' blogs every day, edifying the saints. We've been doing this for years. We're not novices to this, but we are learning, striving, growing, sharpening our sword every day for the glory of God, and we love to encourage other people to do this as well. So this has been Brother James. We love you all. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. Shoot us an email if you want biblical, godly fellowship. The blog is there 24/7. Till next time, I can come to you again, if the Lord wills. May God be praised.